Welcome to episode 2 of Help, I Think I'm Drowning.
In this episode, we're talking about teacher burnout, common feedback and complaints, swimwear and the lack of it, including naked swimming. Ew!
We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello. How's swimming been?
Yeah, it's been good. It's getting to that point where, you know, it's been mad, burnout, that
crazy times.
I need to keep running. There's still so much to do, but you know it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's painful. Burnout is a pain in the ass. I think most people experience it at some point. Running your own swim school and swim teaching and being the manager, the marketing department, the complaints department, the customer service department, all the departments can get on top of
it. I think certainly on the teaching side, it can be really hard to know when to draw the line at when too much teaching is too much teaching as well.
Yeah.
I know I've definitely got myself into a position where I'm trying to teach all these hours. I'm teaching 6 days a week. And even though it's not an 8-hour shift,
yeah,
which is obviously a normal working day, just doing that sort of like 4 till 7 slot every evening and then Saturday or Sunday morning on top of it, usually thrown in with a couple of extra hours here or there if I'm doing one-to-ones. Because when you've got a queue of kids and parents knocking at your door saying, really want you as a teacher, can you just? It's very hard to say no, isn't it?
You want to help everyone and then at the same time have to remember you need to look after yourself. And like, I think we've all been there where it's like you really want to like help people, teach people, take on the extra hours. And that's great. But yeah, you've got to learn to switch off. And especially you see that in a lot of swim teachers, don't you? Like, well, they literally come out the gate, like running, they're going for it. They're picking up everything, doing all the cover. And then you notice the quality of the teaching starts to drop and it kind of ruins it for themselves. And it's such a shame because they have all great intentions. It's massively like building it up. I would say the best thing anyone can do when they're new into teaching is start off slowly, like pick up a few hours here and there and then build it. Because even myself, like I've been out of swim teaching now, like regular swimming hours for a couple of years. And I've just come back on swim teaching rota to cover whilst we're short staffed. And I'm dead. I'm tired. You forget how full on. It's physical, mental, emotional. And so I'll only be in the pool for 2.5 hours. And I'll come out and I'm drained.
You have to keep that almost like happy, clappy energy
Come on, let's go the whole time. Yeah, exactly.
And whilst time's very different when you're teaching because you're like, my lesson's broken down into this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And you think about that set 30 minutes and those 6 children for that 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what's going on outside. It doesn't matter what I've left at home.
Yeah.
It is literally that lesson and that lesson only that I'm focused on.
Yeah.
Keeping that energy up all evening, every evening.
Well, it's like putting on a show, isn't it? Being a performer almost.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I say this to like everyone when I tutor like new teachers and I'm like, when you walk into site, you leave everything at the door and you come in, smile on your face. Hey, how are you? How's your day? I'm ready to teach. Like, it's all about your swimmers. And for whether it's 2 hours or 4 hours, it is, you know, go, go, go. Like you said, you're one after the other, 30-minute blocks. So by the time you finish your last lesson, especially if you're really good at just keeping the energy levels up, like you come out and you're like, do you know what I mean? Like that deep breath of like relief of like, right, done.
Yeah, and it's really overstimulated, even the quiet pools. Mm-hmm. They are so overstimulating because they're bright, they're loud.
They're cold, they're wet, they're hot.
This kid, like, obviously you're trying to have six conversations all at once because mm-hmm. like, it's when you have a class of children, they mm-hmm. all want to tell you something about their day. So-and-so's parent wants to catch you in between as well.
Yeah.
And it is almost that I need to come and lie in a very calm, dark room for 20 minutes after I've finished. Not because it was an unpleasant experience, just to almost wind down yeah. from it.
Yeah, like your energy levels are so high, you've got to like come back to normality a little bit. Like you've gone from like, you know, CBeebies entertainer level to like right back to like your normal zen. Normally in
not shouting, which is something that like, you just have to be so much louder in a pool.
Well, it's the echo, isn't it? That like it's all bouncing off the wall and you're competing for air against other teachers, as in like
sound. And then you're running up and down the pool because obviously you're moving with your swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if you've got a class that are swimming sort of 10 to 15 metres and you're in the water with them, you're running that distance back and forwards with them as much as they're swimming. But they're doing it for a 30-minute stint
yeah.
and you're in the pool for potentially 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously if you're teaching out of your depth as well, like I said last time, you're like a duck. Your legs are going crazy underneath and then you're acting all calm on top. It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, so it is very easy, I think, mm-hmm. for even just regular teachers that aren't doing all the stuff that we're doing to get that burnout. And I think it is important for teachers to take that time to reflect before mm-hmm. they go in and think, actually, I need to teach all these hours. It can be a great opportunity because, well, you can almost, because teacher pay is quite good, you can almost work part-time hours and get that full-time pay,
yeah.
which I think, I mean, it was the selling point for me as mm-hmm. far as I was concerned. I loved swimming, but that whole, actually, I can work way under the 40-hour threshold.
Yeah.
I can work a couple of evenings, especially when I was that younger. I finished by sort of 7, 7.30. So I still had my whole evening ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to be up at the crack of dawn and do rush hour traffic to get to an office job.
Unless you were doing club swimming. And you were in the pool at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And the same for the weekends. Mm. You don't have to be in the pool mega early. You're done by lunchtime.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a win-win situation. And I was still earning as much, if not more than some of my friends that had full-time jobs that were getting sort yeah. of that minimum wage at sort of 18.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it, isn't it? And there's ways to manage it. And this is why, like, having set terms and having the holidays, like I always say to teachers that suffer with burnout quite easily, is instead of booking in crash courses, take that time off. Like, actually allow yourself to have that rest, because otherwise you're going to be working, 8 weeks, maybe 10 weeks long. You know, if you're 5 days a week, that's a lot. And then you do crash course, and crash courses are more intense, not only for the swimmer, but for the swim teacher, because it's the same kids every day for 5 days straight. Like, I don't know about you, but when I did crash courses, that was killer.
That's and hard. Because it's the holidays, children are all out of routine, they're that little bit more mad and wired mm-hmm. than they would yeah. be usually, especially because they've not come from school.
Mm-mm.
So that makes a huge difference. I also think that I've seen over the last couple of years, especially since sort of post-lockdown,
yeah.
a lot of swim schools have gone to this sort of 50 weeks a year model where they just have, you know, the 2 weeks off at Christmas. And if I'm honest, I think that is a huge red flag when it comes to teachers having burnout, because you yeah. have no downtime. And unless you're... A lot of teachers are either self-employed
mm-hmm.
or on zero-hour contracts. So it's very easy for them to not take that holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame because, like, this is why turnover in the industry is so high. It's one of the contributing factors that people do just, they run 100 miles per hour. They're expected to, you know, constantly be there. But then they're also not appreciated. So this is what always drives me crazy, is that you know, you're expected to be in the pool week in, week out, but then you're never invited to, like if you're part of a leisure centre, you're never invited to like the team days out or the Christmas do's, because you're the swim teacher. You're not really part of the team.
Yeah, you're not a full-timer.
You're not a full-timer. It's like, yeah, but I'm not being funny. As swim teachers bring in a lot of revenue for clubs. Like, it always baffled me. But yeah, like the burnout side of it is nuts. And there are so many ways to manage it, but having that time off, and actually, I think there's so many things that just come into burnout, not just like the hours, but it's like knowing how, as a swim teacher, how to look after yourself. So like in winter time, are you actually wrapping up? Like, are you covering your head? Like when you leave the building, are you letting the cold air get to you? That sort of thing. Are you actually allowing yourself to have downtime? Are you wearing a wetsuit? If you're someone who has a weak immune system, like I'm a wetsuit person in summer. I'm a 2 mil in summer.
In and winter, then there's me in my shorts and t-shirt all year round.
No, not happening. I am a wetsuit person because my immune system is so rubbish that if I do not keep warm, plus I freeze, I get cold all the time. So if I don't wear that, that's it. I'm done for. So it's like little things like that, like making sure you're wearing the right kit to keep you warm. Like you're taking those precautions.
And having a workplace that will support you with that.
Yeah.
Because does it matter if you're wearing a wetsuit and your teaching t-shirt, mm-hmm. or whether you're wearing a swimming costume and your teaching t-shirt? Probably not.
No.
If, I mean, personally, I'd feel like the Michelin man if I was wearing a wetsuit. I can't stand them. And I swim open water.
As I sit here looking like the Michelin man right now.
But again, I've heard stories of teachers being told they can't because it's not what? Part of the company policy. It's not part of the uniform. But if it makes your teacher stay warm, they're going to be happier in the pool. They're going to enjoy teaching.
Yeah.
The children are going to have a better lesson mm-hmm. than, you know, it getting to lesson number 4 of the evening
mm-hmm.
and your teacher being so cold and so miserable yeah. that they're fed up and they want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think teachers do have a lot to contend to. Not only is there like the burnout side of it, obviously making sure that they're looking after themselves, they also get the brunt of parental feedback. They're the face of your swim school. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that parents see week in, week out. And whilst a lot of swim schools have fantastic office teams and support staff that will obviously help parents, 90% of the parents are going to go to that teacher because they're thinking about their issue in the moment
mm-hmm.
whilst they're at the pool,
yeah.
not the day before they get to the lesson when they can phone up the office.
Yeah. And you tend to find a lot of the like common complaints are like, they generally tend to be about a lack of understanding on how swim teaching actually works. And they kind of interlink, like the complaint side of it, like constant complaining and burnout, because if you're a really good teacher who has heart in it, you love what you do, you're so passionate about it, you put everything you can into every lesson, but yet, you know, Jimmy's mum keeps turning up and complaining week in, week out that you're letting him play in the pool and splash around and not do actual swimming
or blow too many bubbles,
like you start to, you take it personally. I know you get told don't take it personally because, you know, in the end of the day, it's business. You know, it's not personal, but it is, because you're putting your heart and soul into providing that lesson, into teaching. And then someone
making
is
it
just,
fun
yeah.
and enjoyable and memorable.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And then someone is just like, I don't like that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And what's even worse, it's someone who's not a qualified swim teacher. And you try and explain the reasons why, and then either they understand and they're like, okay, I get that, but I don't really agree with it. And it's like, okay, I know you don't agree with it, but we're trained to do it a certain way for a reason. Or, you know, they're on board with it and that's great. And they're the parents we tend to love and be like, yes, come on, mum, come on, dad, like nan, gran, whoever it is, like, this is great. But yeah, I think it's very common that if you get a teacher who really loves what they're doing and they're getting continuous complaints by someone, I would say, uneducated, so they don't actually understand how the process works and why we do it. And especially if you've got a teacher, maybe not confident, maybe they don't know how to explain to that parent why we do it this way, then you see that that burnout happens that way as well. And they kind of, not only are they absolutely exhausted from teaching, but then they've got all this negative feedback and, you know, like the pressure just keeps building, and then they just go, what's the point? Like, what's the point of me turning up every week?
Oh yeah, 100%. And I don't know about you, but some of the most common complaints, queries, questions that arise to myself as a teacher and to some of the team are usually things like, well, there's 7 children in this lesson. Like, is that safe? Or there's, we went to a different swim school and they had 4 swimmers. Like, what are the safe numbers? Is always a really almost controversial topic with parents. I think because it's so widely changeable between swim schools.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes to picking the right swim school for you. And sometimes you might find the right swim school, but they might not have the right teachers for you, and vice versa, you know. And it is so diverse, like across the whole of the UK. Some have 12 in a class, some have 3 in a class.
Some have 14 with an assistant.
They shouldn't be doing that. but yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Like, how different it is. And you should never compare one swim school to another, nor should as a swim school, like a swim teacher or a swim school owner, compare yours to another. Because in the end of the day, I guess people need to stop looking at each other like we're competitors, and more that are actually we're all aiming for the same goal in the end of the day.
It should be a collaboration.
Yeah.
The end goal is
teach children how to swim.
But what are the official, like, Swim England guidelines on numbers ratios?
Yeah. So Swim England, it's for like your beginners, it's up to 8. And then, so this is typically like your stage 1. And then you can, after that, you can go up to like 12 in a class. So maximum a swim teacher can ever have on their own, this is a level 2 SEQ or STA award or STA certificate or any of the Swim Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. It's 12 maximum. If it is school swimming lessons, because that's a whole different subject, it can go up to 20 in depending on your qualification. But that is teaching from poolside. And then depending on what qualification you have and who you're qualified with, depends on what ratio you follow. So STA, for example, in beginners, it's 1-6 in water. So it's different to out of water. But yeah, there's a lot of like, it changes. Typically it is Swim England. They are the governing body. So if you're ever looking for guidelines, just go on the Swim England website. They're the people to talk to. Like, they're the ones, they're in charge, basically. So everyone typically follows them. But yeah, unfortunately, you will see a lot of the time where it's like completely out of ratio. You know, you might have 12 in a stage 1. And that is a big no-no. Like, if your child is currently at a local leisure centre and there is a swim teacher in the water, or standing on the side, by the way, because I can never get my head wrapped around teaching from the side with non-swimmers that are 3 and 4 years old. Like,
it's like herding cats.
That's a really good analogy.
It's so difficult. Yeah. It's so difficult to keep that
herding cats
organisation, A, them all engaged,
yeah.
But also them all kind of together, because they spread out so wide when there's so that many of them. It makes it so difficult. And that's when it becomes hard work.
Yeah.
It stops being fun. You stop having those relationships with your swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
Because little Johnny can't tell you about his sports day because you're so regimented in
swim, this, yeah, that, session, yeah,
and making sure you can see them all and they're all kind of kept together and, you know, Tom hasn't kind of got semi under the lane rope into the stage two class because you're limited in space.
Do you know I'm going to use that, by the way, herding cats. It's like meow. That is, honestly, I'm going to write that down.
So, yeah, that's definitely one question, query, kind of feedbacky point we often get. Along with things like, well, does my child have to put their face in the water? Like, they don't like getting their face wet.
Yes, please, please don't tell your child, you know, oh, mummy said I don't have to put my face in the water. No, that you're making the swim teacher's life hard. Encourage it. Say, you know, oh, yes, put your face in the water. You can look for the fishes. You can look for the pirates. You can look for them. Don't tell them they can't. Yeah. That.
I do think it's quite normal for children to have that fear of putting their face
in. Of course, because you can't breathe underwater.
It does take practice to, you know, even now as an adult, I spend a lot of time in the pool. If I get a face full of water spontaneously because a child has splashed me, I automatically take that step back. It's not pleasant. If it goes up my nose, if I drink it, it is the worst.
It is the worst.
But you can't progress swimming lesson wise. And you're never going to be a confident swimmer if you can't swim your face in. And if your child falls in somewhere, their face is going to go into the water. And it's that panic that you're going to get if you're not confident going under.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the body position, isn't it? Like, if you don't put your face down, you're not streamlined and your body isn't flat. Like, if the head is up, the legs start going down straight away. So
you've got to work harder.
There's a reason why the face is encouraged to go down. It's to help. It actually helps you float easier. You know, putting the face out and then blowing the bubbles. We do that because it's like the entry stage to learning to breathe. Like, yeah, I just find it crazy where it's like, oh, don't have to put my face in the water. It's like, no, you do, mate. Sorry, but I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we are putting our faces in. We're giving it a go. But even if they're scared, like, make it fun. It's putting that positive reinforcement on it rather than being like, oh, doom and gloom, monster under the water. More like, you know, oh, look for the treasure, look for the fish, like I said a minute ago. You know, like, it can also be enjoyable.
It makes life so much easier at home when it comes to hair washing, when it comes to bath time. If you've got a child where you can tip the bowl of water over their head to wash wash their hair, and it doesn't sound like you're murdering your children, where you haven't got the screaming.
Blood-curling screams.
And the having to hold the washcloth over their eyes.
You know what I'm going to say, don't you? The I need a towel. I've got water in my eyes. Please stop wiping the kid's face with a towel. It doesn't help them. I have a little boy. He's so sweet. We've worked so hard now the last couple of weeks to get used to him being able to do the blink, 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 you know, so that he understands that if the water goes in his eyes, he just needs to blink and it will go away. But every time he was like, as soon as any water went near his face, he was like, I need a towel. Someone get me a towel. And he just wouldn't move after that. He would just stay and just scream at me until we got a towel. I was like, I'm stuck to my guns, and I encouraged him. I said, like, come on, mate, you can do it. I'm so proud of you. Like, just blink, let's give it a go. And now, like, just by putting that positive reinforcement, he's, like, come out the other end and he's like, I don't need a towel now. So, yeah, he's only four. He's really cute. But it's nice to see that other end of it, isn't it? And just kind of going back onto that feedback and, like, complaint side of it, like, kind of touching, you know, like we were saying, like, to the response teachers get from parents can, like, encourage burnout. The same happens, like, if you're always getting really positive feedback and, like, It makes you want to stay in longer and do it, like, longevity of the career. So I always try and encourage parents, like, if you've got something nice to say to the teacher, say it to them. And if you want to go...
It'll mean the world to them.
Oh, my God. Like, when parents come out and, like, literally say to me, I go, and they'll be like, that was awesome, Terry. Like, I'm so proud of my swimmer. Like, thank you so much. I really appreciate what you did today. My heart grows. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. Thank you. You know, it makes
it's
you happy.
It's why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to do one better, email the office a nice review or put it on Trustis or Google or Facebook or whatever, or, you know, like, put that teacher's name out there and say something nice about them. Those tiny little comments after the lesson, just by saying thank you so much and pointing out something that you saw the teacher do, makes a massive difference on whether teachers stay in. And this is very typical of just human beings. We're so quick to point out the negative and the bad, and we hardly ever point out the good stuff. And I just wish that was done more. Like, the amount of times I've had to give teachers pep talks and be like, you've got it, mate. Like, you're awesome. You're doing a great job. You're thinking outside the box. Your swimmers are smiling. They're loving their lesson. And then I get the, yeah, but the parents didn't seem that happy, or the parents looked a bit grumpy about it. It's like, just smiling at your swim teacher and saying thank you is enough sometimes for them to be like, do you know what? Yeah. Like, it makes it worth doing the job.
Oh, 100%. What are some of the other, like, feedbacky, negative-y comments that you find you have to deal with? I know swimming numbers are always controversial for me, and
God,
faces in the water.
Faces in the water. It tends to be always like lack of understanding, complaining about like the types of swimwear, maybe not understanding. One I had recently was like a parent. So we have a very young child. I think they're about 5 years old. They were in stage four. So to be 5 years old, tiny kid, in a stage four class, they could swim front, back and breaststroke with fabulous technique. Like, you know, when you look at someone, you think you're going to go wet, like you're going to go far in swimming. Like, you're...
You're a swimmer.
Beautiful work. But could only do it for about 10 metres and then it'd fall apart. And this parent was complaining that, like, the teachers were using floats. And I'm like, well, yeah, we got to break down the skill. Like, that's how it works. We can't just do length, length, length. Like, we need to practice. We need to isolate the legs to work on the kicking, isolate the arms to work on the arms and the breathing. So I guess, yeah, it's floats, isn't it? Like, why are you using floats?
All the time.
Why are you using floats?
We've definitely had it where we've had parents say, well, why is my child back on a noodle?
Mate, do you know what?
I love a noodle. Noodles are the most versatile swimming floats on the planet.
Yeah.
Whoever invented them is an absolute genius. You can sit on them. Mm-hmm. You can seahorse on them.
They become motorbikes. They become speedboats. Love a speedboat. They're a pretzel. You can tie them up in it.
They are so, so
They're
useful.
A reach pole.
But I'll use them with, like, my higher swimmers.
Yeah.
My pre-club swimmers.
Yeah.
If we're working on breathing and I want to isolate it so they don't have to think about their arms and their legs. I mean, for reference, I can sit on a noodle in a deep pool and my hair will stay dry. They're that floaty. They're very, very good for making it really easy for a swimmer to focus on just one thing.
Yeah.
And
they're a really good piece of equipment.
They are. They're fantastic. And to then have parents be like, well, hold on a minute. Why is my child back on a noodle?
But that comes to that lack of understanding, like, and the reason why we use a noodle, you know, like, it's to isolate certain parts. So I guess it comes down to, like, unless you're a swim teacher, you've never heard of, is it BLAPT?
Yeah.
Okay. So BLAPT is body, legs, arms, breathing, timing. Okay, and that's how you teach any stroke. You start with the body position. Once they've got that, you can move on to legs. Once you've got legs, you can move on to arms. Then arms, you go on to
breathing.
And then from breathing, you go on to timing. Okay, and that's how each stroke is broken down. Okay, but what you don't realize is how long it takes to learn each of those things.
And then put it all together.
And then, yeah, and it always happens. You get the body and the legs right. You bring in the arms and the body and the legs go kapunk and you can't find them. They're doing something else. They've got bicycle legs again.
And going back to your swimmer actually saying she was beautiful over 10 metres, by using a noodle and strengthening that leg kick,
yeah,
where it makes it relatively easy for her because she can just focus on building that leg strength because, you know, as a five-year-old, I'm assuming she's not got great big muscular legs.
No.
It means that she can then do 15 and 20 metres and build that stamina up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to adding in the arms, her legs are nice and strong. And it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that is literally it, isn't it? It's like the understanding of how it's broken down and then why we use equipment to isolate something to then also build up, one, the technique and then the strength. You know, because once they get the technique, they can only do it for a short distance. And then, like you said, we've got to build up that strength and so they can do the distance. And another thing that just reminds me, when you get that kid and they do so well and they swim like a distance for the first time, and then you get, does that mean they can go up to the next level? No, it does not. No. For anyone to go up to the next level, they have to do it consecutively for several weeks. And if there is a breakdown of the technique or the distance for any one of those weeks, the cycle starts again and the count starts again.
It needs to be a consistent skill.
Yeah.
They need to be able to do it week one, but they also need to be able to do it week five, week seven and week nine.
Yeah.
And every week in between if they're asked to.
Exactly. And then they go up. And it takes a lot longer than people realise to like just master those skills. Just getting your body position flat. If you're some like a small child, you're scared of putting your face in the water, like that head position is part of the body. You know, it has to be in the water for the body position to be correct. And this is stage one work. This is entry level work.
And I do think that especially parents don't always appreciate that as children progress, the skills get harder and take longer to master.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like your stages ones, twos and threes, our eels, one, twos and threes, the skills are easy because they're learning. And
well, I'm pretty sure the first few learning outcomes in eel one and stage one and is it Stanley one?
Yeah.
Are travel through water for 5 meters in brackets with a buoyancy aid.
Yeah.
Travel means walking, moving, like any movement through water.
Along with being able to get in and out of the pool, being able to understand the pool rules and how to be safe around the swimming pool, mm-hmm. which most children are going to pick up quite quickly.
Yeah.
But obviously as the stroke develops and they become more advanced, the technique has to improve. And actually they're the things that take time along with that endurance and stamina to be able to hold the technique.
Yeah.
Over that longer period of time, which is then going to take longer to achieve.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse as a swim teacher than having a child move up to your level, like say like you're teaching level three or level four, and a child moves up and you watch them swim and you're like, you're not ready. And you can't move them back down. Like,
it's demoralising.
It ruins, like their whole, you know, confidence just gets knocked. So you have to keep them and now you have to work with them because either the swim teacher before couldn't be bothered or was pressurised to move the child up too soon. And then it's not fair on that kid because, you know, they then either don't swim as fast as everyone else, they're even not ready and so they're struggling, and then their confidence gets knocked as well because they're starting to realise that actually they shouldn't be in that level, they're not ready for it.
And then they don't enjoy coming to their swimming.
Yeah.
And then they don't continue, mm-hmm. which then stops them swimming for forever, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. It's so sad, isn't it? Like, I just wish it was one of those things that people were, like, you know, realise, like, let's positive in lessons, like, enjoy it. Don't try and rush it. Like, you've got a lifetime to learn, you know. Yeah, just don't rush it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I know another thing that comes in quite regularly for us, especially with like newer swimmers, is what do I bring to my lesson? What does my child wear? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do they need like goggles? Do they need a hat? Do they like, what kind of swimming shorts do they wear?
I have a quick question. What's your least favourite swimwear that someone puts their child in?
Do you know what? Certainly for boys, the big like board shorts.
The ones that almost like come right
the ones that come
knees.
All the way down to the knees that then balloon up usually once they've jumped in or something.
Yeah. And they always come down as well.
Yeah.
But the string comes undone.
The string never seems to keep them on. they do a push and glide, and the poor child's trying to pull them up as they're going along, whilst you're asking them to have, you know, streamlined arms out in front of them. And they're like, I can't, because they've got one hand on their trunks.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad. But yeah. And what would she say for girls?
Any kind of... there seems to be a big craze at the minute with like almost like the tutu swimming costumes.
Oh, I don't mind the tutu and bikinis. Costumes. Oh,
which a tutu creates a lot of drag. You're making it harder for your child. But bikini wise, again, it's very similar to like the board shorts. It's an accident waiting to happen in the sense of them coming up, down, off.
Yeah,
it just makes life difficult for your swimmer.
I hate bikinis on children. Hate them. I'm not even going to say that. Like, I absolutely hate it. And there's a couple of reasons. Like you said, like, it's an accident waiting to happen. They roll up, the straps come off. And as swim teachers, you are not allowed to help a child, like, adjust their clothing. You're not allowed to do that. And so it drives me bloody crazy when... you get this little child. Why are we putting them in a bikini? One, they're a baby. They're a child. Like, they're in a swim school, in a swimming lesson. Put them in a, like, appropriate attire. Put them in a full piece, you know, like a full body costume. Or those 3/4 length ones. I love them. They're great. But bikini, yeah, they roll up, they roll down. And then as a swim teacher, you've got to... put this poor child on poolside or have them in the water and then call down mum or dad or whoever and be like, yeah, you need to fit. I can't
retie this.
I can't do this. I'm
untangle
not allowed
that.
Yeah.
The beads on it have gone.
Yeah, it just drives AWOL. It drives me crazy. And I just think it's such an inappropriate piece of clothing for children. Like, we don't need it. They don't need to be in two pieces. Yeah, board shorts are a right nightmare as well. They drive me crazy and it wastes time in the lesson. Like, I get it. You want your kid to look cute. They want to wear their favourite costume. Get the 3/4 length zip-up suits. They are my absolute favourite because you can have whatever character you want on those, any pattern you want. If you want pink, yellow, green, aliens, Barbie, Thomas the Tank Engine, wow, that's really old stuff, Paw Patrol, you know, you can have anything you want on it. They do them from all the age ranges. And as swim teachers, they never cause us any problems, touch wood. But yeah, bikinis for me are a nightmare and I don't like them and I discourage them.
I also think colour of swimwear is really important as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in a swimming lesson, just in general.
Yeah.
I think it's something that's not necessarily talked about a lot of the time is if you're wearing a bright orange pair of trunks, mm-hmm. regardless of what, whether they're board shorts, whether they're trunks, whether it's a swimming costume, if they're at the bottom of the pool,
yeah,
out of choice, you can see them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can spot them. If your child is wearing white or any shade of blue.
Yeah.
Or even in some cases, a light green.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot see that child.
No, not the current, but you know, like when you move the water's a word for
it. The light reflection.
Yeah, the glare
the
and stuff.
Glare.
There's an actual word and I forgot what it's called. It'll come back to me later. But like when the water moves... it's like they vanish, like they completely disappear. I had to watch a video once, CCTV footage. This is of a real life situation. A young boy drowned in this and it went to court and everything. But I had to watch the CCTV footage, basically watch of the situation that happened. And this young boy was in like the dark blue swimwear and he got himself, it was a wave machine pool, and he got himself in difficulties and... was actively drowning, which is really sad. And he had landed perfectly on the blue line in the pool. But because of his size as well, he was so small, and he literally was like laying on the blue line. So he wasn't found until another child who was actively drowning was putting their hands up in the air and like pushing their chin up and like trying to gasp for air, and they were tiptoeing off this purse, this young lad that was laying on the bottom of the pool. It's absolutely awful that, you know, but that's how the lifeguards noticed that this child like was under. So the lifeguard that noticed the child that was actively drowning, he dived in, got the child, and as he dived in, he noticed there was another child at the bottom. So obviously he had to alert, someone else went in.
Yeah.
But yeah, this child was got resuscitated, taken to hospital, had severe brain damage and then passed away. And it's really sad. And this is all because, there's not just because of swimwear, there's a few major factors that went seriously wrong for that to happen. But had maybe he had been in a brighter colour, might have been I'm not saying it's like swimwear was the be all end all, but it may have helped a little bit more. The lifeguards should have done a better job, if I'm honest. That should have never have happened.
Oh, 100%.
For the child to even be out of their depth and not be able to swim, like, what the hell are you doing?
It's a huge no-no.
Yeah.
At the best of times.
And the result of it was that it did go quite far, and I think certain people actually got put away for it because obviously, like, the neglect and the manslaughter and things like that. But yeah, that's it. Like, I don't really want to talk about too many dark things because it's a slippery slope. But yeah.
Swimwear is such an easy way to make your child more visual. It's difference to your child wearing high vis mm-hmm. if it's dark by a road. If your child can wear a mm-hmm. bright colour swimming suit, swimming trunks, it just adds something else to aid them.
Yeah. What is it like when you see those... they're like nurseries or preschools when they take the kids out on a day out and they're all wearing their little jackets. I really like them, but it's like, yeah.
It's the same principle with swimwear.
Exactly. Just no bikinis, please. No bikini. Well, you can, if you want to wear a bikini at the beach, you know, at your own family pool or, you know, your own leisure, do so. But swim school and swimming lesson, it's like almost like a uniform. Make sure you're wearing something that is appropriate. You wouldn't send your kid to school in a bikini, would you? I know, totally different concept. I'm really reaching.
Hopefully not.
But, like, you know, let's make sure it's appropriate. And also then it doesn't put it stops the teacher being at risk as well, because, you know, the child is then not put in a situation where they could be exposing themselves if the costume was the slip. You know, like you said, with the young lad doing the push and glide, well, the worst situation that could have happened with that was that his trunks completely came off. As a swim teacher, what do you do? Imagine you're in, like, 1.2 meter deep water, this child can't stand up, is a beginner, does a push and glide, and is now his shorts around his ankles. What do you do?
Yeah, it makes it so difficult. It puts everybody in an awkward position. And to be honest, it's probably not overly pleasant as a child to suddenly become almost naked.
I wouldn't want that.
After doing your very beautiful push and glide, it's not really the reaction you want.
No.
I also think having a good quality pair of goggles is really important. Mm-hmm. You often see children come with the full snorkel masks or, you know, dad's goggles, which always brings me sense of entertainment. When they're just too big for the swimmer's face, obviously they don't make that clear seal.
Yeah.
So then they don't stay on. They don't have to be so tight. They leave the solid eye marks.
Yeah.
They've very much a myth that goggles need to be that tight. Mm-hmm.
But it's also like the band placement, isn't it? Because, like, you always see them, they put them on, the band's like all the way at like the bottom of their neck. It's like hanging off. It's not on the back of their head, like the crown where it should be.
So yeah, I definitely think having a good pair of goggles, the right swimwear is very much key as well.
Yeah.
And if you've got long hair, just make sure it's tied back. Speaking of somebody that has a lot of hair.
Oh, yeah.
If
I used to know.
If it's not tied back, it's everywhere. It's in my goggles. It's in my mouth. It is
also
in the person next to me swimming's hair as well. because it just sort of floats about.
You see them when they turn, like when they're swimming, like they've got all their hair tied up and they try and breathe and it's just like all the hairs in their face.
Yeah.
And they just can't, like, they can't breathe because it's like creates a seal almost, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. So tied up in one way or another, ideally some kind of bun,
yeah,
plait.
Oh, I love a braid.
That just keeps it neat and tidy out of their face. If they want to wear a swim hat, then quite frankly, even better.
Yeah.
I absolutely love a swimming hat, mm-hmm, because then my hair stays out of my face.
Mm-hmm. And can sometimes stay dry as well, depending on the, yeah, sort of hat you've got, which is quite handy.
Or at least drier, which I'll take any win. where my hair isn't dripping wet.
You have to wash
wet.
It every day. Yeah.
But I mean, going back to the swimwear side of things, there is, you know, groups where there is less swimwear involved.
Lacking all swimwear
with
together.
Certain adult groups. But I'll let you tell that story.
Oh my God. Okay. Right. So, such a funny one, still makes me laugh now. So basically I was tutoring one day, so I was at this venue and they basically said to me, I'm not going to name the venue because nor do I want extra people turning up to join
said group.
Although you're more than welcome to join said group, but you've got to figure out yourself.
I'm sure they're a lovely yeah. group.
Yeah, I don't know, I can't make eye contact with them. But yeah, I was tutoring and I was told I had to be out of the building by a certain time, and the building stayed open later for this group. I didn't know it was this, I didn't know it was a nudist group, let's just say that. And so my learners have all gone home. I'm packing up, just putting all my equipment away, ready to leave. And I literally grab my last box, I've got it in my hand, turn off the lights, walk out my classroom door into like the foyer space. And was met by a lovely gentleman who was grinning ear to ear, butt naked. And you know when you have that moment, you're like,
am I in the right place?
Excuse me, sir. Like,
you can't do that here.
Yeah.
And this is not the changing room.
I was just like, what is going on? And so I was just, you know, I didn't know where to look. I was just looking around, and luckily I had the big box with me. So I've like had it placed where... And then what made it worse, this lovely gentleman wanted to start a conversation with me. So you can imagine me, I'm standing there with my box and like trying to leave. And then said elderly gentleman is standing there, elephant and all out. And just wanting to have a chat. And I was very much like, yeah, no, I've got to go. Yeah. And tried to finish the conversation as politely and as quickly as possible and leave. So I put my stuff in the car and then realised I need to go down to my equipment cupboard. My equipment cupboard was on poolside, and that meant I had to walk all the way back through the club, through poolside where said naked people would be swimming, and get my equipment. And so I had to make that brave trip. Let's just say it was very difficult making eye contact with people. I was very much the whole time like looking around the room. You just don't know where to look. Sometimes you'd look and then regret looking. But, you know, it was just so funny. So, yeah, grabbed my equipment and then made a quick dash out of the building.
You don't go back in there at that time of day?
No. Since then. Never. No, I make sure I leave well in advance now, because said gentleman has tried to recruit me several times and I have politely declined. But yeah, they do naked aqua. They're a nudist group, so, you know, it's private membership. The club's closed to like
everyone else.
It's only those that are part of the nudist group, and there's only certain areas of the building that you're allowed to be nude in. But yeah, they're doing nude aqua, nude swimming, nude gym. So there are bubbles hanging on the bicycles at times. So hence why you should always wipe down gym equipment. But yeah, it was just, I was a bit taken back because I'd never seen anything like that before. I'd heard of it, but you don't.
There's always rumours in the industry, isn't there? Where such and such a pool does naked swimming on such and such a days, and so and so has naked Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And until you actually, well,
until you walk into it
face to face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or other things.
Oh, yeah. You don't.
Yeah, but we definitely recommend swimwear.
Yeah. yeah, full swimwear, please. Head to toe swimwear, in my opinion. And I was asked as well if we would do swimming lessons, like for said group. And I was like, I'm going to politely decline because I couldn't do that. Like, you imagine being a swim teacher, you've got to be like butt naked. I don't know if you had to. Would you?
Oh,
would
I
you
don't know. This is a very good question.
Would you have to be naked to do this?
And would you accept the role if you
imagine you're in the pool, like you've decided not to be naked. Okay, so you're in your swimwear, you know, your costume, t-shirt, shorts, minimum, and then like you're teaching an adult group, but like imagine they got the kickboards and you just see the little butt cheeks, like just on top of the water flapping away.
If I was clothed, I'd definitely feel better about the situation. We'd definitely have to probably stick to swimming in our fronts.
I don't know if I could teach in water.
I don't know if I could teach backstroke. If I'm completely honest.
I didn't even think about that one.
I don't know where I'd put myself.
Breaststroke.
That would...
Oh my God.
I'd be a lot.
You'd be opening the gate, closing the gate.
Wow. I mean, maybe, like,
no,
you know, research, you should maybe
no
do this.
No.
Maybe you should investigate in the name of the podcast and then report back.
I do not think so. I do not think so at all.
But
then what happens with the opposite way around, like you had to be like naked in the pool?
I don't think I could.
They'd be having their goggles on, having a good old wonder.
Well, we're wearing goggles. Does that count as clothing?
No.
Also, if you don't have goggles on, you're not going to see where you're going, and that could be worse.
I know, but can you? But like, you imagine like they're just doing front crawl and they just keep turning to the side that you're on, and having a good old like
no,
like just because no, you know like, when you're teaching sometimes, and like people like as you move around in the pool, sometimes like you bump or brush up against people just because of the space. Can you imagine that with a nudist group?
No, I don't. I don't want to.
I'm not going to get that image out of backstroke out of my head now.
Well, I think we've learned today that neither of us are game for being naked swimming teachers or nudist
swimming
group teachers. Is that the right?
Just wear your swimwear.
Yeah, we're only here for swimmers fully covered in swimming costumes.
It's bad enough as a swim teacher when you know when you're in the supermarket and the kid comes up to you and goes, "Oh, hi, mister," and you go, and you don't recognise them, and then you end up going, "Oh, sorry, I didn't recognise you with your clothes on."
And it's even worse when parents do it and say that out loud to you.
I don't recognise.
You're different with clothes on.
Yeah, don't say that. That's I am dressed in the pool, and so are the children. We are just
and
in swimwear.
And to anybody walking past that conversation,
that just sounds
they're going to think we're doing some very bizarre things.
God, you could get reported.
So, yeah, that's a solid no if you see your swimming teacher in the wild. How are you?
I don't recognise you with dry hair. Like, yeah. That's a bit more appropriate. Maybe.
Anything other than you look different with clothes on, because I think every swimming teacher on the planet has had it at some point.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what to say to that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a kid as well turn up where they've got like different hat or goggles on and you don't know which one?
Oh, 100%. I've had twins as well where they'll swap swimwear or they'll swap goggles each week. So then I have no idea who's who.
We do know our swimmers.
Over the years, I've had a few sets of identical twins, and I'm sure as an identical twin at the age of sort of like 8 or 9, it's highly entertaining to switch your goggles or wear a different swimming costume each week just to confuse your teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. Stuff that happens sometimes.
Yeah. So just a brightly coloured piece of swimwear, whether it be trunks, whether it be a full piece swimming costume.
Just zipped up, tied in, tucked on.
Yeah, that's super easy for your child to be able to, let's be honest, do it themselves.
Yeah.
Which I always think helps as well, because there's nothing worse as a parent trying to do the shower malarkey, trying to, you know, take your 500 layers off.
Yeah.
Whilst, you know, it's freezing cold outside, but it's 30 degrees on poolside, you're carrying all the bags, you've got the shoes, you've got the school uniform because you come from school, you've got your hat and your scarf on, you're sweating buckets.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to get your child into this piece of swimwear. If they've got a nice, simple, either like jammers, which are like the long, like trunks, but they're fitted, or like a swimming costume, they don't need to be tied up, they don't need to be tucked in.
Exactly.
Your child can generally do it themselves.
The ones I like are the ones, you know, like they got their costumes on, then they were like the onesie or the dressing gown over the top.
Oh, I love it. No, I swear by a onesie.
That's elite parenting right there.
I swear by a onesie, some kind of robe or something for to-ing and fro-ing. I know a lot of swim teachers now that will swear by a dry robe.
We have a story about a dry robe.
Dry robe on, swimming costume underneath. It's easy. You don't forget a towel. Yeah. It's fantastic.
My advice for anyone who wants a dry robe, do push someone off a plate for it. That's what I'm going to say about that.
There was almost a fight. Yes. But,
but yeah, like literally, like you said, just being able to throw something on, throw it off. And like even after, like you said, the trying to shower your child after is an absolute nightmare. So just being able to quickly throw the costume off, you know, wash down the body or rinse it down. If you can't wash them at the venue, just rinse them off so that at least they get the chlorine off the skin because it's an irritant. And then chuck the onesie or dressing gown over top and just go home. Like, bish, bash, wash.
It makes it so easy. It means that you're not in the pool for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sweating. You're not fighting the cubicle showers, which even though a lot of venues have really good showers these days, there's not a lot of space in there. So if you're in trying to get in there with your child, you're then wet, your shoes are wet.
Oh, yeah.
It just adds to that stress that then makes swimming almost a negative experience.
Yeah. Just for parents.
Getting changed, the going home, the trying to dry their hair, the tangle teaser, et cetera, et cetera. It just adds to that almost level of stress.
The chaos. You hear it as a swim teacher, don't you? You hear the chaos in the change rooms.
Oh, yeah, the echoing sounds of...
Will you bloody get dressed?
That's what I always hear. Oh, there's soap in my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, just to kind of like... So sum up everything we've had, like, spoken about. What would be your three, like, top tips, takeaway from today's conversation?
Don't teach naked swimming.
I agree. No naked swimming.
Definitely make sure that we're educating parents as much as swimmers on like how lessons should run, ratios, the activities that children should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that, you know, they come dressed appropriately for their lesson, brightly coloured, full piece. And then making sure as a teacher, you're not getting burnout, you're looking after yourself, you're not teaching hundreds of hours a week because there's all the planning and stuff that goes around it, and it's hard to keep that level of energy going for the full thing.
I guess my kind of like little takeaway would be positivity goes a long way. So if you get that, you know, quick second as you're picking up your child, just to say something nice to the swim teacher about what they've done, you know, that little bit of positive feedback, then use it, throw it out there. It's great. Kind of echoing what you said about let's educate parents more as swim teachers, and actually rather than just roll our eyes or get frustrated and upset that they're, you know, giving us negative feedback, then actually have the time to educate that parent on why we did something. And all for the naked swimming not happening. If you love it, go for it.
Or do you know what? Just, you be as free. Long as we're not teaching it.
Yeah, just I do not want to teach naked swimming. Full stop.
And we'll leave you on that thought.
Have a wonderful evening.